All right, what's going on? Jerry Fetta here, owner, founder, CEO of Wealth Dynamics, coming to you live this week with another Finance Friday. Hope you're having a good Friday. Hope you had a good week. I know I did. I'm going to be talking to you this evening about your number one wealth building tool. Right now, before I do that, if you've not seen me before, I want to give you a little bit of information about myself, what I'm about, why I'm here, why you should even continue watching this as we're talking this evening, this Finance Friday, about your number one wealth building tool and how to use that. So I'm Jerry Fetta. I'm a CEO, a founder, an author, an entrepreneur, right? And I'm a wealth enthusiast. I'm a wealth expert. And so, guys, by basically my story is I grew up low income. Right, low income, low financial literacy. I grew up in Alaska. I did not have, the financial examples in my life of what success looked like. I didn't have an example of wealth in my life on what that should look like. My parents got divorced at a young age, right? And so I decided, at a very young age that I was going to quit on money. Okay, I was like, I'm not going to do this. It's been a painful thing in my family. I've seen my parents get divorced over it. When I was 9 years old, all in the same summer, we lost our house. Mom and dad got divorced, right? And on top of that, we got the car repoed. I was homeless on my mom's side, my dad's side. This is all when I was 9 years old, right? All of this was connected with money. And the reason I'm sharing that with you is because this is something that I think, at varying degrees, we go through. We don't get trained on finances. It's something we deal with on a regular basis, right? Like, think about it. If you never got trained on food, like the fact that you're supposed to eat, right? You would be dead if you were never trained on oxygen, right? We would be dead if you were never trained on gravity. Don't jump off of tall things or you could break bones and kill yourself. We wouldn't survive. But why are we not trained on money? You and I learned math. We learned how to add, subtract, multiply, divide. If dollar signs were put in front of all of that, those things, that's finances, right? I could have learned this in like third grade, but I didn't. And because I didn't, right, it led to me having the childhood that I just mentioned. Okay. Now, I quickly realized that money was not something that was optional. Okay. I don't know if you've had that realization yet. I hope if you've not, that you do so soon, right? The word economy, I was having a call with a client today, and I was mentioning to them, and it was actually a staff member and a client. I was mentioning to them the root of this word economy. It actually means the management of a personal household. Now, it's funny because when you look that definition up in the dictionary, it's actually listed as obsolete, meaning they're like, oh, that's not applicable anymore. We don't use that one, right? But the truth of the matter is, the reality is it's very applicable. Like, it is something that still does matter. And if you were to operate on that definition, you would see that your household is your economy. Your income, your expenses, your assets, what you own, your liabilities, what you owe, that is your personal economy. Those are economic statistics for your personal household. And it doesn't matter if your household is just you, or maybe it's just you and your spouse, or maybe it's you and your spouse and some kids. Maybe they had some kids, you got some kids, you put them all together and you decided you were going to do cheaper by the dozen. I don't know, right? But that's a personal household. The financial condition of your personal household, of my personal household, is my economy for my household, your economy for your household. It's not the stock market. The economy doesn't mean these ambiguous, the stock market and the real estate market and the gross domestic product. Most people, if you ask them what gross domestic product is, they can't even tell you. Right? But we hear all of this. Oh, the economy's down. The economy's down. This happened and we had an economic crisis and this occurred. Right? The only economic crisis that can be happening is in your own bank account. Are you having a recession? Or are you having a boom? That's up to you. And now, what I want to talk to you about tonight, I'm just going to get a quick swig of water here. What I want to talk to you about this evening is I want to talk to you about how to control that, right? What is your own personal number one wealth building tool? And how do you use that wealth building tool to build wealth, right? And I'm going to share a couple of viewpoints with you this evening on this Finance Friday that I use that I've learned from the top 1%. So I told you my backstory. Let me tell you my current story. Guys, I'm 32 years old. I'm financially independent. I have zero obligation to trade time for money. I don't have to. It's a choice. If I want to go to work tomorrow, it's a choice. Okay. Now, let's just take for a moment, let's realize and recognize for 32 years old, that's weird. Isn't it? Isn't that weird that someone's 32 years old and it's like, okay, I don't have to work. No inheritance, no handouts, no bailouts, no loans, nothing like that. I grew up poor, guys. I was able to do this from the ground up. And it's not because I'm a genius or I'm special. What I did is I became a financial advisor, right? I got into the financial services industry. One of the best things I've ever done for myself, right? Next to marrying who I married, the religion I participate in, the businesses I've built, that's the next thing, right? I'd say bodybuilding is probably up there too, right? I don't want to get on a whole list of things I've done for myself, but this was one of the top things was getting into the financial services industry because number one, it taught me about money. I started learning how money worked. I didn't know how money worked. I grew up with a childhood that was very tough financially. I mentioned all this stuff already, but it was because I didn't know how money worked. My parents didn't know how money worked. My peers didn't know how money worked. My friends didn't know how money works. My teachers didn't know. My coaches didn't know. Freaking nobody that I knew how money worked. Okay. Now, I was a C average student, didn't go to college, graduating class had 62 kids in it, but I was one of the smarter ones. And I still am today, right? And so I was somebody that if I would have been taught how money works, I would have actually taken it and run with it. If they would have just said, hey, when you're in third grade, when you're doing the adding and subtracting and you're learning your times tables and you're dividing things, if they would have given me dollars to do all those things with and coins to do all that with instead of calculators, I would have started to get more with it. Right? Would you agree with me if you would have been given these things as a kid? You would have been way more interested in math. Way more interested in math. I would have been. Right? So I became a financial advisor. I started to learn how money worked. I learned about income. I learned that, I could earn an unlimited amount of income. I just had to know how to do it. That's what it came down to. I had to know how to do it. I needed the knowledge. Right? I learned about debt. I had already had debt at that point. I was 18, 19 years old. I already racked up debt. I had my car loan, $10,000. I hadn't even made $10,000 yet. I had a $10,000 car loan. Right? So I started to learn about debt. I started to learn about investing. Now, let me tell you what, when I learned about investing at 18 or 19 years old, I literally felt like I was being led into the Illuminati. Right? Like the idea that Jerry Fedda from Alaska was going to invest. I was like, are you guys sure you want to let me in on this? Like, I don't think I'm the type. I don't think I'm who you're looking for here. Right. But I started to learn about investing and it was the coolest thing in the world. I learned something called the rule of 72. Right. The rule of 72 taught me that if I take the rate of return that I'm earning on my money and I divide 72 by that number, that will tell me how many years it takes for my money to double at that interest rate. So if I'm earning a 6% return, 72 divided by 6 is 12. At 6%, I will double my money every 12 years. Right? If I'm earning a 12% return, I double my money every 6 years. Right? I started to get this stuff. I was like, man, this is awesome. Why didn't I learn this in high school at least? I'll give them a break on the third grade stuff. Right? Sure, I learned arithmetic in third grade. I'll give teachers and everyone a break on that. But guys, in high school. In high school, you could have learned that. I could have learned that. We all could have learned that in high school. Right? So here's what I learned. I started to build wealth and I started to do it the way that the financial institutions do it. That was my first way of going about it. Right? I was doing the bank accounts, I was doing the mutual funds, I was doing the retirement accounts, right? And I quickly realized that as I built my network, I started to meet more wealthy people. I quickly realized the real wealthy people aren't doing that stuff. And I started to study. I studied the top 1% because when I was a financial advisor, I remember going to a meeting one time and I sat down with a lady and she rolled her retirement account over, invested it with me. And I was like, cool, you're set. When you're 60, 65 years old, you're going to be good. Your life's going to be great. Right. And I could see a look on her face and it was a look of worry. Right. And for the life of me, I couldn't figure out. I was like, I just figured out this lady's retirement with her. Right? She's going to be great. At 65 years old, she's going to have a really good life. And it finally dawned on me that she wasn't set next week. She wasn't set next month. Right? Like imagine having a gunshot wound and I'm your paramedic and I come to you and I'm like, hey, you know what? I looked at the gunshot wound and what I noticed is you have low cholesterol. Sorry, high cholesterol. You have high cholesterol. And when you're 65, that could cause some problems. Right? So what I did, you're gonna love this. I prescribed you cholesterol medication. So when you're 65 years old, you'll be alive because of cholesterol being good. And you're sitting here gushing blood out of this bullet hole, right? And you're like, dude, thanks for the cholesterol medication, but I have a bullet in my chest right now. It would have been really helpful for you to do that, right? Like, great that I'm 65 years old with healthy cholesterol. I'm not going to live to 65. This is how most people are financially, right? We're giving people cholesterol medicine so that when they're 65, they're going to be good and they're not good tomorrow. They're not good next week. They're not good next year, let alone when they're 65. They're not even thinking about 65. If you're watching this right now, listening to this right now, what are you more concerned about, financially speaking? Next month or when you're 65? Now, if you're 64 and 11 months, don't answer. Don't be a smart ass, right? But if you're 20 something, 30 something, 40 something, 50 something, you're probably thinking about next month, aren't you? I know I would be. So here's the thing I learned about the wealthy when I studied the wealthy, because I started studying people, biographies of people like JP Morgan, John Rockefeller, right? Andrew Carnegie. And I learned one important thing. They built wealth now. None of these guys waited till they were 65 years old. They didn't put it off. They lived life today. They lived on their terms and they made sure that they had the finances to support that. Right? So I told you this time I would talk to you this today about the number one wealth building tool that you have and how to control that. Right? And I'm going to give it to you. Your number one wealth building tool is right between your ears. It's your mind. Right? It's not a stock. It's not a piece of real estate. It's not someone else's business. It's not the economy. It's your own mind. Right. And here's why. Okay. Number one thing you need to have is you need to have financial literacy. Right or right, you can't understand that if you don't use your mind. It takes a mind to understand that. It takes a mind to figure out how does money work? How do I use this resource? Right. So that's one of the things that will be your first thing you'd use this tool for is if you are thinking, okay, I want to build wealth. I want to be financially free. I would love to be financially independent and not have to trade time for money anymore. I would love to get there, right? The first thing you need to change is you need to change your mindset about money. The number one thing that is creating your current economic condition, and I'm talking to you right now, right? Your current economic condition is what you believe about money. That's the number one thing. Do you think rich people are evil? I guarantee you that that's holding you back from being one of them. Do you think money is limited and there's not enough for it to go around for everyone? I guarantee you that that is holding you back from building wealth. Are you embarrassed to have the things you actually want to have? Are you one of these people? Oh, I don't need all of that. I don't need all of that. I don't want the fancy car. I don't want the fancy house. Maybe you do, maybe you don't, right? But if you're wanting it, and you're saying you're not because you're afraid of what other people will think about what you do with your own money. I guarantee you that that's holding you back from building wealth. Right now, let's get really clear about this definition of wealth. When I said wealth, if you automatically thought money, and that's all you thought, that is holding you back from building wealth. You see, the definition of wealth, if you look at it, originally had nothing to do with money. Think about that. The definition of wealth, if you look at the original definition, the origin of this word wealth, it actually meant wellness. It came from the word wellness, right? What does wellness mean? Wellness came from wholeness. Like you were actually doing well in all areas of your life. You were whole. You were living as a whole being, right? What does that mean? That means all areas. That means my physical health. That means my emotional health. That means my spiritual health. That means my relationships. That means my friendships. That means my profession. That means my artistic influences that I have. That means, you know, the things I do for creativity, what I'm doing for fun. every single aspect of my life. That is the definition of wealth. Okay, now, some people might be eating some granola right now, and you're like, yeah, no one ever needs money. No. You need a lot of money to do that. You do. To live that style of life, think about just eating organic. You want to really take care of your body. Right? If you want to really take care of your body, and that would be part of wealth, is taking care of your body. Is it not expensive to eat organic? If you don't want GMOs and chemicals and weird stuff in your food, you need to be able to spend the money to eat that way. Right? So you would need whatever is needed to get that done in your life, right? Think about family. Like one of my stories that you know for me was a life-changing event. Okay? I was a financial advisor, like I mentioned. When I was 21 years old, my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Right? Because I had not taken responsibility for my personal economy, my financial household. Right? At the time it was just me and my wife. We didn't have kids or anything like that, right? But we were broke. We were living paycheck to paycheck, and maybe you've been there, wondering how we were going to buy groceries next week, like that kind of broke. My mom was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. She passed away on December 28th, right? 3 days after Christmas, right? I was a pizza delivery guy at the time, and I couldn't get Christmas off, right? So my mom's last Christmas, I couldn't get anyone to take my shift, and I couldn't afford to lose the job I had. Because I was on a shoestring with my finances. See what I'm saying? So I had to work Christmas while my mom was dying of cancer because I hadn't taken responsibility for my economy. Now, let me ask you, and I'll go ahead and answer it because this is a personal question I would ask myself, is that wealth? No, that's not wealth. That's not being there for your family when they need you. That's not what wealth looks like. Right? Gandhi is quoted with saying that poverty is the worst form of violence. Okay, how much more violent can it be? Violence doesn't just mean guns. It doesn't mean, throwing people in cages. Violence means using force to prevent someone from doing what they want to do or forcing them to do something they don't want to do. Right? That's poverty. If I don't have wealth financially, I am prevented from doing the things I want to do. We've all experienced that, where we have wanted to do something and we didn't because of money. Sometimes it was the right thing to do, and we didn't do it. We didn't act on our good intentions simply because of the barrier of money. Right? Sometimes it was the opposite. We were forced to do something we didn't want to do. Something that wasn't good for us, that goes against our personal values and integrity. Those things matter, and to sell out because of money, that would be a form of force. I did it against my will, right? So how do you use this tool, your mind? Let's talk about this. Financial literacy is the first point I mentioned. Let me put this up on the whiteboard. Everything I teach you, by the way, it's always going to be simple, true, and applicable, right? Simple, true, and applicable, right? So your number one wealth building tool is your mind. I'm going to put this on my whiteboard. Right? The first thing that you need to do is you need financial literacy. Right? On literacy on finances. What does that mean? It means you are financially smart. You're savvy. You've got a high financial IQ. You know what to do with money when you get it. You know how to get it. You know how to prevent yourself from losing it. Financial literacy. Okay. The second thing is you need to use your mind to earn income. Right? Now, I never understood this as a kid growing up, right? I would see when I started to understand money and finances, I would see the CEO of a company, in a movie, for example, doing way less work. Like that dude sits in his office, he's throwing shots back. He's got the cufflinks on, right? He's smoking a cigar. It looks like he doesn't do anything. Then I see the janitor working his butt off. And I never got that. My family was blue collar, right? Like my dad was a painter and construction worker. My mom did odd jobs, right? And I never understood that. I was like, these people, the janitor, the construction worker, they're working way harder. It's a lot more effort. How come they're getting paid less? And I never understood that until one day I understood it's because they're using their bodies to make money instead of their minds to make money. Right? Money flows to those who solve other people's problems, their most pressing problems. When you solve someone else's most important and pressing problems, you will get more money. You will earn more income. Now, notice solving other people's most pressing problems. You don't get money for solving your own problems. I'm sorry, but that's not how life works. Nobody's going to pay you because you're like, yeah, the people upstairs in my apartment, super loud. I figured out how to get them to stop. Right? Nobody's going to be like, cool. Here's $500 for doing that. That's never going to happen, right? It'd be great if it did, but it's just not how it works. Okay? Now, turn the tables around. Someone else's apartment. Their neighbor upstairs is being loud. It's bothering them. And you say, hey, I figured out a way to get rid of that problem for you. You will never hear their noise again, and you're going to pay me $1,000. Right? Maybe they do it, maybe they don't. Okay? Now it sounds I'm going to give you guys this one. I know you're sitting there right now, you're thinking this sounds fishy, dude. Like you're going to get rid of the problem forever. You're going to kill the people upstairs for $1,000. Right? That's not where I'm going with this. Right? But where I'm going with this is you're solving their problem. Right? Maybe you invented some way to make their ceiling noise proof. Who knows? Right? But you would have had to use your mind to solve that problem. Okay? Hard work does not pay you. Hard work is not, and this is another one. I mentioned the mindset, the financial literacy, your money mindset. You need to change the idea that hard work makes money. It doesn't. Hard work alone does not make money. I have done some of the hardest work in my life as a business owner that I will never get paid for. Hard work and money don't correlate. Not necessarily. Hard work mixed with solving other people's problems, yeah, that definitely could make you money. Right? But if you want to test my theory, go out to your garage right now, get a shovel, and go in your backyard and just start digging. Work your hardest. Right? Tell me how much money you get from doing that activity. Right? This is one of those things. It's like, oh, I worked so hard on this. I worked so hard on that. You know, I put in all this effort and it needs to be rewarded and valued. No, it doesn't. The world doesn't reward you for effort. How much effort do you think it takes for the entire planet to spin in a circle all day, every day for the rest of eternity? Who do you see rewarding the planet? We're destroying it instead. Right? Hard work doesn't matter. If you're not solving a valuable problem, your hard work isn't valued. Right? It's your creation. You might have an emotional attachment to it. You might be like, man, that was a lot of work, but you need to use your creativity, not your hard work, your creativity to solve other people's problems. Right? Better yet, here's a real good one to try and learn. Use your creativity to get other people to solve other people's problems. The further you are away from the transaction, the more money you make. Okay, that's another secret that we don't learn. The further you are away from the transaction, the more money you make. I want you to think about this. Who makes more money? The guy working at McDonald's who serves the burgers at the front desk. He hands you the thing and he collects the money. He's right there at the transaction. Who makes more money? Him or the manager? The manager, right? Who's more hands-on in the transaction, him or the manager? Not the manager, this guy is. The manager makes more money, yet he's further from the transaction. Now, who do you think makes more money, the manager or the franchise owner? The franchise owner does. Who do you think interacts with more staff and customers, the manager or the franchise owner? The manager has more of those interactions. Okay, now who do you think makes more money, the franchise owner or McDonald's corporate? Definitely McDonald's corporate. And they talk to no customers and they don't talk to any of the people that are working in the kitchen, unless they're maybe doing a quality control inspection or something of that sort. Right? But I just proved to you that the money lies further away from the transaction. Now, how do you get to that position? Because we can be like, oh, yeah, like I did before, the CEO, he doesn't do anything, he's up in his office. He's up there, you know, what might look like relaxing or living the easy life to most people because of his mind, because he used his creativity and his intellect. Right? You've got to learn how to do that. You've got to learn how to do that. That's problem solving. That's communication. That's skill with people. That's having financial literacy, understanding how money works, the truth about it. Right? Again, simple, true, and applicable. And that is your wealth building tool. There's not a single investment that I can set you up with that's gonna fill the gap in for you on that. The sacred account that I talk about all of the time is never gonna solve that problem for you. It's never gonna help you if you lack the financial mindset, if you lack the ability to use your mind and your creativity to generate income, none of these tools will help you. Why? Because money is a resource. And I'm going to close on this note. Okay. Money is a resource and it's a very valuable resource. Okay. And I want you to think about two different people. Okay. Two different people. You've got one person and he gets, you know, the finest gold on the planet. And he realizes what it is. He realizes what he has. He's like, I realize in my hand right now, I have the finest gold on the planet. Okay, I'm going to figure out how to preserve this. I'm going to figure out how to make it last. I'm going to figure out how to get the most out of it because I realize the value of what I have. Right? Guy number two gets the same gold, doesn't realize what it is. Oh, this is cool. Right? I'm going to make it into a Christmas ornament. So he melts it down, makes it into a Christmas ornament, puts it on a tree, and that's it. Right? Christmas ends, he packs it up, decides, I don't like that ornament anymore, puts it in a garage sale, sells it, gets rid of it. Okay, both of them had a resource. Let me ask you, who got more out of that resource? The first guy did. And the reason the first guy did is because he realized the value of the resource that he had. That's intelligence. That's the mind. That's the intellect. Money is no different. If you and we and statistically speaking, all of us, most of us earn income. I'm gonna say all of us. If you're listening to my stuff and you don't earn income, shame on you. Go earn some income, right? But all of us earn income, and all of us have a resource coming into our lives from that income. Each and every one of us has the opportunity to use that resource to build wealth. Whether we do or whether we don't comes down to what's between our ears regarding the topic of money. Okay. So on that note, I'm going to wrap this up. Thank you for watching, by the way. So if you watch this, listen to this, et cetera, and you'd like to get more training on finances, right? You're like, I didn't learn this in school. Maybe you've been watching YouTube videos for a while. Maybe you're online trying to figure out how this stuff works. What I did is I wrote a book on this. Okay. Now I'm 32 years old. I'm financially independent already, meaning I don't have to trade time for money because of the income I get from my business, from my investments. Right. And I wrote a book on this because I studied the top 1% of wealth. Okay. Now the book here, I'm going to show it to you. It's called The Blueprint to Financial Freedom. Okay. Now none of this is my stuff. You should be very concerned if anybody, first generation wealth, is saying, I figured out how it's done. And you need to listen to my methods, right? Run if you hear that. So this is not my stuff. I read the biographies of the wealthy, like I mentioned, the Rockefellers, the Carnegies, the Vanderbilts, the Morgans. I studied banking. I was a financial advisor for a number of years, and I started to look at what are they actually doing to build wealth, right? And I put it together as a blueprint, and I followed it. And ta-da, 32 years old, I'm financially independent, right? Following their stuff, not my stuff. Okay, now it took me about 10 years of research to figure all of this out. And here's my pitch to you. You can skip the 10 years if you grab the book. I want to give you a free copy this evening for watching, for listening. So if you would like a copy of my book, Blueprint to Financial Freedom, what I want you to do is I want you to go to the link here. It's jerryfetta.com/B2F promo. Okay, I'm gonna put this up on the screen. You can get a free copy. You cover the shipping. We will cover the cost of the book. Okay. So jerryfetta.com/B2F promo. You can get a free copy of the book here. I'll put this in the comments for TikTok as well. What's up, guys? Good to see you. So again, if you want to grab the book, you can get a free copy. It's jerryfetta.com/B2F promo. Little cumbersome typing on TikTok here. You guys probably see the screen shaking. All right, jerryfetta.com/B2F promo. Love the hearts. Thank you for those. I appreciate it. Guys, go to the link, grab the book. We will be back again next week. Have a wealthy weekend, and I will see you next time.